Lord Jesus, I think the devil done run out of Dodge now. Amen. So I don't know about these crazy people over here. These folks, I think they still at Oyster Bay. They still having a party. He says, and when it's party time, how many of you know sometimes you got to go back to some old school? Old school. You know, old school just kind of ministers in a whole different way. Touches you at the soul. Oh, man. Shikabasa. Woo! I went to the back when I came out. I said, I don't like the feeling in here. I said, I don't like it. I don't like it. I said, we're going to change some things up. So I decided I want to go old school today. Is that all right? How old you say it, right? How old, Pastor? How old? I'm going to tell you how old. Of God, get ready to drink of the wine of God, for this is the new covenant that he has given his people. He says, get up out of the old and step into the new. We're transcending out to transcend up. Hallelujah. Give the Lord a shout. Give him a hand clap. Woo! I was told that we are crazy church. I said, Lord, I'm just crazy for you. I know you got a sense of humor, God, because you made me. And then when you came into my life, you didn't change the way I was. You just changed my heart and my mind. So I stay crazy for you. So for those of you that follow me on Facebook, you probably saw what I checked in at the House of Manna. It's time to get low in order to transcend up. We're getting low. Get low. Get low. If you weren't here on Wednesday, you missed the message. We rolled it up. We rolled it up in here. Some of y'all started reaching for your papers. We rolled it up. We rolled it up. Some of y'all say, well, is it going to be on the podcast? No, you missed it. Mm-mm, missed it. We rolled it up for a reason, because we ain't going back that way. We're not going back that way. We're going to keep going higher. 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 I can't go any higher than that. I hurt myself. Higher. But in order to get higher, you got to get low. You got to let go of all the stuff that you think you know. So he can take you higher. See, many times we grow up in church and we think we understand everything because we've been in church for 25, 30, 50, 100 years. We think we got it all. We know it all. But what happens is he has to strip you of some stuff. I was originally going to title this message, I'm in love with a stripper. Your pastor probably ain't going to get invited to go anywhere. You know, and I in love with the stripper. Y'all know that song? I'm in love with the stripper. Look at all the young folks. Yay! Make it rain up in here. Yeah, look. Am I in church? Church was never like this when I was growing up. Because I'd have stayed in church. I mean, you know, when you come into God, all of a sudden some things start kind of getting taken off. I'm in love with the stripper. He don't strip me of every religious mindset. He stripped me of all carnality. Well, not all, but some. Carnality. It's a process. He's taking me through some things. But in the process of going through, some things are getting stripped off of me. Ain't nobody's exempt. I don't care what kind of bishop, what kind of apostle or doctors and, you know, all these kind of honorary doctorate degrees given out and they never even went to school. But just because they know the word, but the character's off, the integrity's off, the word doesn't mean what it means. How about that we just have an understanding that the stripper is going to strip you of everything that you think you know. Amen. To reveal everything that he wants you to know. Well, sometimes we start going up in our theologies and we start thinking things that this is the way it should be. And in reality, God says, I need to remove that. I need to get you low because you place yourself too high. You've promoted yourself into a position. I need to get you low. So when I get you low, I can transcend you up. But when I transcend you up, don't go back. That's why we rolled it up on Wednesday. So you don't go back to that place. And so that your identity isn't stuck in your past. So people can't say, I remember you. Imagine Chris. Well, yeah, my cousins are in the house. A lot of them. They know me. Show up at Oyster Bake last night. Can you imagine some of the folks there? Marty, what's up? What's going on? You got a little something? Huh? I got a lot of something. You want some? You want some? I got a little something for you. It's going to cost you a little bit. Well, not that you tell them that, they're going to say, well, I go someplace else. You got to be competitive. Y'all need to learn y'all's marketing skills. So when you're going to go up to them and say, I got a little something for you. Something for you. We'll give you a bump. Watch this. They're already over there like, ooh, shoot. Allergies. Allergy. But you give them a bump. This is what you do. This is what you do. My life is, I got this drug that's banging. I don't even have to spend all that kind of money you're spending right now. and I don't get hungover. I don't get cotton mouth. But man, this high, man. You sure you want some of this? I'll give you a bump. You want some? I'm talking to you, man. You want some? The only difference is you can't smoke it. You can't drink it. You can't inject it. You still want a little bump? All I got to do, man, is just lay hands on you. That's it. And it's free. You want it? Bam! Scooby-Dooby-Doo is loosed. See? Watch this. See, we are so afraid of people recognizing us. Come back. Recognizing us from where we once were. Walk into the Market Square. Walk into the carnival that's going on in Fiesta San Antonio. Walk into Cattleman's. Walk into all kinds of places. They have all kinds of drinks and stuff. Walk in, and you'll be the drunkest one there in the Holy Ghost. Let them see you happy.
Amen.
You ain't got to be the one out there carrying on like a fool. They're going to look at you like, hey, man, you just smiling and smiling, having a good old time. But I don't see all those cups like I have. Yeah, because what I got, the price was paid for me. All I got to do is just walk in it all the days of my life. You want some of it?
Yeah.
Some? Come on, I'll get you some. Come on. Want some? Come on. This is where we're going to go, right here. But she said, let's go. We're going to go. Are you ready? Lift up your hands. Get what? Lift them up. Here it comes. Here it comes. You ready?
I'm ready.
Here it comes. You ready? Fill them up. Fill them up. Get them drunk in the Holy Ghost, God. Get them drunk in the Holy Ghost. Let them feel the real peace of God. Let them feel the real power of heaven. Fill them up. Fill them up. So that when they leave here today, they know they had an encounter and not an experience. Here's your bump to get you up. But you've been low, and now it's time for you to go up. Amen. Shoo. Amen. Amen. Mm-hmm. I said, Lord, let me get out there to Fiesta somewhere. And someone asked me if I want a little something. I said, what I got is better for you. What I got is better for you. I done tried them all. Spoke with my kids yesterday about a situation that happened in the neighborhood. And I said, I've tried every drug there is. Every drug. Thank God his hand was on me. Amen. Kept me from getting addicted. Told a story one time when your pastor's real, okay? Your pastor's real. I was in a, it's when I was in college. No, but this time for real. This time for real, I was at St. Philip's College and, I was actually enrolled. They're laughing at me, man. Give me a complex. I'm rejected. I was in St. Philip. I was sitting in class. I met up with some people, and they were going to have a party. So they invited me to go to this party. Normally, I go with a friend of mine. And this time, I went by myself. I'm a college student now. I go. So I go to this party. I'm telling this to my wife and Hannah. And, you know, I was experimenting on everything. But at this very moment, you know, I'm sitting there at this party and some say, man, this is for you. And they give me a joint. And I know it's God now, but I didn't know then. So now I'm cool. I'm cool. I'm just going to, you know, just drink and be cool. I'm all right, man. Set it down. And I watched it where I put it, just in case. Man, y'all act like y'all are so religious and spiritual. So I see this guy. He comes up and he picks it up. Whose is this? I said, man, go ahead. I was telling this to my wife and my daughter that I watched him before he even finished it. He fell off the chair and he started foaming at the mouth. It was laced with something.
And it could have been me. See, I didn't know then, but I do know now. He protected me. He kept me from being that person. I got so scared that I left. Half the whole party left, took off. And they called the ambulance and stuff, couldn't find out, you know, at school the following week. I went to school and, you know, they said he was okay, but he was in the hospital. It was laced with LSD. And so I was telling this to my wife, and my wife finds out things about me like you find out about me. You know, you can't give it to them all at once, Chris. You can't. She would have never married me if she'd known all that. So she says, you know, I'll find out things about you when you're telling everybody. How come you don't tell me everything? Because you know, under the anointing, it's good, you know. So I was telling this to my daughter. I says, you know, that's why you don't even try to experience, because there's so many craziness out there now. And nowadays, you know, they're trying stupid stuff. But the problem is there's a void in their life. And usually when there's a void in their life, they try to go find something that can fill it. Well, when you're in low situations in your life and you feel like you're down and out, anything sounds good to make you forget your pain. But it's in that moment that you realize that he never left you, that he's right there with you, even in your foolishness, even when you don't even understand why you're there and you think you have everything together and you don't even realize there's something driving you there. There's something that you're following. And you see destruction, but you still follow it anyways. Right? It's kind of like sheep. Sheep, do y'all know that they're the dumbest animals on earth? They're the dumbest. That's why they need shepherds. They see a cliff. Hey, meet her, how nice. And all the other ones follow along and they all die. The sheep are the dumbest animals, so they need someone to protect them. They need a shepherd. And so we're like those sheep. We're like those sheep. We see the destruction that's out there, but we follow after it anyhow. We see that it's causing pain and turmoil, destruction in marriages, destruction in family, and we follow after it anyhow. That's why we need a shepherd. And a true shepherd tells you the truth. If you're causing strife between your family members, your loved ones, what you're doing is making them go off the cliff. And a shepherd is here to tell you, in your lowest part of your life right now or any time in the future, just know you're not alone. The true shepherd is right there with you. Now, gather this, and I want you to think about David. Before he was King David, he was a shepherd. He was a shepherd boy. He didn't quite understand everything. How many of you can relate how you think that what I'm doing is just meaningless? It's trivial. It's nothing that important. How many of you have been there in your life? Sometimes you think, and all I'm doing is just vacuuming. All I'm doing is just cleaning. And nobody really pay attention to what I bring to the table. Right? You minimize the task that is given you, and you think that it's not important. But David had that sense as well. He's like, here I am. I've got all my older brothers, and here comes the prophet to anoint the next king, and I'm out here in the stinky, stupid animals being overlooked. But in that process of what he's going through, he's learning something. Now, we all know, y'all are probably preaching it in your head right now. Oh, yeah, he was a shepherd, so he can be a great shepherd to the people of God. But it's in that process. Sometimes you don't realize what can you imagine what he was thinking? The Bible describes him as a ruddy young man. Ruddy. It means he's strong. He's courageous. And he has the ability to do a lot of things. But he's looking at himself like, I'm out here with these dumb animals. They stink. They see the wolves and they still run after it. They see the wolf coming and they still follow after it. They see the wolf within the flock. They still run after it. Just like people in church do. Yeah, they see the wolf in sheep's clothing. They identify, oh, that's a wolf in sheep's clothing, but I'm going to follow. Because we don't pay attention that everything that God has given you is for you to go up higher. It's for you to understand that everything he has for you is to promote you. But we follow after things that we know we shouldn't be following. Okay, y'all just making me preach. Just because it's easy to follow after a group of people just because they're popular doesn't mean that that's who you're supposed to be following. Just because they have influence in a certain area of the city or what they're doing doesn't mean you have to follow them. You've got to know that God has placed you in the vicinity of someone that's going to help you to learn something to where he's taking you. Not everybody is going where you're going.
Amen.
Not everybody's climbing up where you're climbing to. But when you start climbing and they start pulling you down, it's best to get up. Get off me.
Amen.
Shoo. Tell them this. You want to go up? It's time to get low. It's time to get low. You want to be seen? You want to be heard? It's time to get low. What's that mean? That means, I'm just going to say it. Armor bearers in this house, stand up. Armor bearers in this house, stand up. I want you to look at something. The position of an armor bearer is not to be seen. The position of an armor bearer is never to be heard. The position of an armor bearer is the lowest. The lowest. You know what a true armor bearer did? You ain't gonna like this. Washed the dung off of their hands. You know what that means? They cleaned the poop off of the hand of the leader that they're armor bearing. Oh, that's should I ain't doing that. You better use Charmin double ply or something. Being an armor bearer puts you at the lowest position. The lowest position. What they said, that there is the prophet Elisha who cleaned the hands of Elijah. Mm-hmm. What does that mean? Well, he cleaned all the mess of the one that he was serving. It's the lowest position. But people think because they're the ones being seen, they're the one closest to the pastor, they're the one closest to authority, they're the ones that are very important. No, it's when they serve and they show the faithfulness and they show that it's not for them to be seen or heard, that's when God raises them up. You understand? Thank you. You may be seated. But people think, I want to get promoted. I want to get promoted. You know how you get promoted? You want to know how? Be humble. Be humble, not prideful, not arrogant. Look at me. Look at me. I will watch you. You're going to fall. You're going to fall. Get your Bibles to 1 Peter 5, please. 1 Peter 5. Guys, you may be seated because you're going to be standing a while. And I know. It's just, you see it? You might want to just put a chair right there, man. Just chill out. 1 Peter chapter 5, verse 1. 1 Peter 5, verse 1. When you're there, say amen. All right, I'm beginning reading out of the NIV. It says, to the elders among you, I appeal as a fellow elder and a witness of Christ's suffering, who also will share in the glory to be revealed. Be shepherds of God's flock that is under your care, watching over them, not because you must, but because you are willing, as God wants you to be, not pursuing dishonest gain, but eager to serve, not lording over those entrusted to you, but being examples to the flock. And when the chief shepherd appears, you will receive the crown of glory that will never fade away. Verse 5, in the same way you who are younger, submit yourself to the elders. All of you clothe yourself with humility toward one another. Humility towards one another. Because, watch this, God opposes the proud, but shows favor to the humble. Say, get low. Humble yourselves, therefore, under God's mighty hand, that he may lift you up in due time. Cast all your anxiety on him because he cares for you. Be alert and sober mind. Your enemy, the devil, prowls around like a roaring lion looking for someone to devour. Resist him. standing firm in the faith because you know that the family of believers throughout the world is undergoing the same kind of sufferings. And the God of all grace who called you to his eternal glory in Christ after you have suffered a little while will himself restore you and make you strong, firm, and steadfast. To him be the power forever and ever. Amen. Father, I thank you for your word. I thank you that it's true yesterday and forever. I thank you that it penetrates the very soul and the very will of man so that they can grow in the knowledge of who you truly are, God. Father, I thank you that you gave us an example, and his name is Jesus Christ. And I thank you throughout the Old Testament, God, it was a type and foreshadow of Christ to come. So, Father, I thank you that we see with our eyes beholding of the glory of God in your Son, Jesus. We thank you in Jesus' name. Amen. It is very important that you understand in order for you to go up, you must go down. You must get low. You must be humble in spirit and in mind. You must be humble enough that I don't want people looking at me and not seeing Christ. They've got to look through you to see Christ. They may be the only people that are ever going to get to church is going to be around you. But if we stay like the fat cats in church, and when we're out in the world, we just like everybody else, no wonder why the church isn't progressing. I'm talking about the body of Christ in general. We have seen it too long where the church has been in a state that let's build my church, let's build this, let's build that, let's get as many tithes and offerings as we can get, let's get all these different types of organizations together, let's network and we can have all these different ministries together. But what is happening outside the four walls? Do you understand? Jesus, when he came and he selected the 12 apostles, he selected them and then he said, come on, come on. He didn't take them into the church. He said, follow me. And I'll make you fishers of men. Well, they understood how to fish. But I'm going to make you fishers of men. He had to teach them something new. But they had to leave something behind. What did they have to leave behind? What they were proficient in. Don't miss this. That was their profession. Okay, let's do it this way. All of you hairdressers in here, follow me. I'll make you make over new people. But you have to leave all that stuff behind. You know the ones. They know how to make your eyebrows nice and thin and arch perfectly. You know, I've seen them in HEB and stuff when they're doing that. I've seen them in the malls when they got these strings. I don't know how they do it, but it doesn't. It's threading. What is it? Thread? Thread. Thread. Like what you sew? Thread. So they're ripping their hair out. See, that's how I know that ain't right. Wait up. I done seen some things going on right now. Some of these eyebrows, everybody's like. They're not even real no more. They're tattooed. Well, watch this. But. I'm a baron. Bayer gave me that look like, boy, y'all better move out the way. The look, you know, with the eyebrow perfectly arched. It's that tattoo. The plane. But look, I'm going to preach them over here because all kind of fiery flames are coming up. See, I'm in trouble. Watch this. But watch this. We go through the process of making everything look right. We want everything to look good. And we'll go through all that pain to get it. I saw this one girl at HEB. I was checking out and I saw this because they're laying down and I see this girl getting that thing plucked out. And every time it would happen, her hands would go real tight. And I looked up real close and I was like, every time she would pull and she would do it, I would go, oh. It would hurt. I could tell it hurt. We put ourselves through so much pain just to look good. The outside may look, oh, what's up? You look good, but the inside's all jacked up. How about we we start getting the thread and pulling the thing that's in there and stripping all that old stuff out.
That word.
You word up. Shoot, I'll preach myself happy. And I watched, and she was, you know, and I'm, your mom's checking out, she's doing that. I'm looking at her like, every time she would do it, the girl was like, she would jerk, and I would jerk. I think, heck? It's like, what do we put ourselves through all this kind of stuff so we can look good.
Sure,
but then, you get to, and then you get to church. Watch this. You get to church. You're looking good. You put that glue on and put your eyelashes on. It's waterproof and waterproof. But you get to church, Holy Ghost ripped that thing right out. You get up from the floor like in the conference the other day. Glasses are sideways. Hair's a mess. You should have seen. Well, you should have seen someone that I know. Her glasses were.
Hallelujah.
We had Whirly Bird in here. Whirly Bird got touched with the Holy Ghost. Well. But she said things are turning around. We had one of the catchers. Catch it on fall out. Watch this. But we prep for everything, right? We get so we're ready, we're good. We come to church, God just wrecks you.
Yes,
he just wrecks you. It don't matter about the outside appearance. He's concerned about the inside. And we come to church, we looking so fine. We all fly. We have our nice hats on. Not today, but anyhow, we get all dressed up for church, but yet we don't put the word in us.
Amen. That's right.
Oh, what's Pastor going to prophesy today? Nothing. Nothing. The word is prophecy.
Amen.
Get it in you.
Yes.
Look at your neighbor. He said, get it in you. Look to your neighbor and say, get it in you.
Yes.
Put the word on your situation.
Yeah.
Say it again. Put the word on your situation.
Situation.
Amen.
Amen.
You know, and I watch this, and you know, you gotta understand something about your pastor. When it was the week of the Seder, they said, we're gonna do a foot washing. I said, my feet? Babe, we're gonna get a pedicure. We're gonna get a pedicure. Y'all understand this? I'm ticklish on my feet. I'm ticklish. The first time I went to get a pedicure, she lifted up my leg and she touched it. I went, poof. Ticklish. So this time I was like, oh, I gotta be still. You know what scared me? She brought out a cheese grater. A cheese grater. Thinly sliced or would you like thick sliced? And I was like, what in the world is that? I was so scared. Would you like deluxe? What's the difference? A massage. Ay, pues tú, ándale. She gives me a, right? So I go through that whole process just because I'm afraid someone's going to touch my feet. Right? So we go through so much stuff just so that it looks good.
Yeah.
And then we be in the same. We come into church and the word is going forth. And it's like cutting off that excess skin, the dead skin in your life. And it's just like that cheese grater. I don't want to go to that church anymore. It's fun, but God, he tells us stuff like I'm so prideful. And I'm not prideful. I know everything. I get the band is awesome, but you know what? I could play better. Right? So we start getting critical, and then we don't realize God's trying to tell you got a critical spirit. Let me go in and just shave that off of you. Guess how that happens? The word. He comes in to make us better. But we're so focused on the outside. Shoot. Tell you how focused we are. Y'all think I'm silly, but I'm going to tell it. Yeah. Two shirts. One of the cleaners, the other one not. I'm going to tell on myself. Sure. So I put your shirt on. Well, they shrunk it. There's arms are like this. And then I was like, no, it's because I've been working out. And because I want it to look good. You know? So I said, but you know what? Something doesn't feel right in my spirit. So I better take a backup. Thank God I did. Y'all have been laughing at me. Was it baby Huey putting on a shirt? Wouldn't have been able to move. So we're worried about how we look, but we don't want to go through the process of being changed on the inside. To get up higher, you got to get low. You got to get low. You got to humble yourself under the mighty hand of God. How do you do that? You get into his presence. You get into his word. And you begin to ask of him what's in here that's not of you. Before you start going, oh, that's oyster bacon. It's Niosis just around the corner. That's not what he's talking about. If you're going to go, go. Live your life. Enjoy your life. Let me set that straight. You see me at Niosa, you better go buy me a gordita or something. True. I wrote the elotes. Enjoy yourself. You got to enjoy yourself. He's not talking about you not having fun. He's talking about you on the inside. So that when people come around, you're not so harsh. You're not so quick to judge. You know? His pants are starched, but his shirt needed to be ironed. We get all critical about everything, about everybody else but ourselves. So we fix the outside, but we don't work on the inside. And God is saying, look, enjoy your life. I came so that you would have life and have it what? More abundantly. But the church is trying to put you in the grave early.
Amen.
They're trying to get you. You know what? I'm going to tell the truth now. There's too many pastors that are doing this and they're falling dead at the pulpit. And the church is driving them to the grave. Why? Because they're not having fun. I said, God, I enjoy what I'm doing. But the moment. Okay, I'll be careful. Take it back. Now I'm going to put it out there. The moment they make me not enjoy it, I'm walking away. Because my first ministry are my kids and my wife. This is my call. But I'm first created to minister to them. Should have got kudos on that one. I ain't hear nothing.
To pat your back.
Okay. But I said, God, I want to have fun and I want my church to be different. Amen. I don't want it to be a religious church that is caught up in all of this mess. Like, well, I can only have all the people wearing white that sit over here and they're the mothers of the church. I can only have all those that are wearing the collars and purple sit over here. And then the ones that are wearing white because they're going through a process. They're going to sit right here with the collar here because they're going to become bishops and apostles later. Stop all that mess. All you're doing is what the world system has done is caused segregation. Yeah. Even in the church.
That's right.
I said this to my wife the other day. I said, you know that, I better not say it. You know, your pastor's on the edge all the time. I stay there for a reason. Because I want to know what's going on out there. If I stay behind the lines, I'll never know what's going on the enemy's camp. And I've seen the church segregate itself within itself. And we're trying to bind the spirit of division, but the church itself is causing it. I went to T.D. Jakes, his church, and went to visit. You know where they sit? They seat all the first-time guests? Front row. Front row. Oh, this your first time here? Yeah. Just came to visit. Come on. Y'all going to the front. Come on. And before you leave, we're going to give you a seating so you can take home with you. See, and people would come against T.D. Jakes. I mean, y'all know that, right? They would come against him because he has money, he has fame, he has influence, he's affluent as well. And people would come against him, but they don't know his humble beginnings. They don't know what he went through. They don't know what he went through to get his anointing. So many people say, I want your anointing. Okay, let me pray for you. Let me pray for you. You know how I'm going to pray for you? You're going to have your son killed. Drown before your eyes. You're going to lose your job. You're going to lose your house. You're going to lose your vehicles. You're going to lose your money. You're going to lose friends. You're going to lose family. You want that? You want that anointing? No. No, I'm cool. I'm good. So you don't understand what the cost is. See, David understood the cost. See, I know where I'm at. He understood that what he was doing as a boy would only get him higher when he became a man. Do you understand? Yeah, we know the story. He was a shepherd so he could shepherd his people. But before he became a shepherd, he had to know God's heart. How do you know God's heart? By understanding the true shepherd in the field, alone. Alone. You can't get your experience or encounter with God only in church. You got to have it at home. You got to spend time alone with him. And when you do that, God will do great things. Luke 16:10 says, he who is faithful with the very little thing is faithful also in much. So I said, Lord, I've been faithful with the little for a long time. Long time. Will you just help me go through this process so that when the much comes, I stay humble? Amen. Understand? The Lord had my wife stand up here and prophesy to her and says, will you trust me? Will you trust me? And she said, yeah. Now, will you give it away? Will you give it away? How many of you know if you got a breakthrough right now? Watch this. Watch this. This is challenging. Check your character. Miss Edwina, $1 million is going to be written to you in your name. It'll clear the clearinghouse, and it's available in your account. And then the Lord says, withdraw it and give it to the ministry. Would you do it? You know why? Because it's not hers to begin with. It's his. Those of you listening on the podcast, she said no. She has no problem giving it away. When you have the understanding that God is the one that blesses you and it's his, you're only there to steward it. And if he says, give it all to me, will you do it? Oh, the quickest way you can do it is the quickest way he's going to increase you. Sometimes, watch this, some of you that have those bank accounts like I did, and now, in the red. When you get your increase and then he says, okay, now give it away. You know what? Just as fast as he got me out, he'll double, triple, he'll take me even further. I have never seen in Scripture where you give your all and God didn't give more to you. Do you understand? When you're humbled, you know that he's the one that's in control. Be faithful with the little and he'll make you ruler of much. Psalms 51:16-17 says, you will not delight in sacrifice or give it. You will not a burnt offering. Sacrifices of God are broken, are a broken spirit. A broken and contrite heart, oh God, you will not despise. So for those of you that are going through, and many of us go through, many of us been going through a situation in our life, and we don't even quite understand how we're going to get out. Just know that he delights himself in those that are broken. In your brokenness is where he can reform you rebuild you, and raise you up. You understand? Three gentlemen that are in this church that play on our praise team, the band, had an encounter with Jesus. They had an encounter. Did you not? Heard testimonies. I've heard testimonies. I've heard testimonies. How God touched them and had an encounter. And because of that, their life will never be the same. Man didn't touch. God touched. When God comes in, he reforms, restores, and remolds you to something you didn't know was in you. Do you understand? But sometimes, not even sometimes, all the times in your brokenness, the hardships that you go through, some of your children get sideways with you. You know, very sideways, that you want to, you know, knock them out sideways. You know, you lay hands on them and they recover. I'm kidding. But it's in that brokenness that you begin to understand how to minister to your kids differently than you would have if you thought you were doing it right all along. Because as they begin to grow and they get older, they begin to get acclimated to their surroundings. And their surroundings isn't you. The surrounding is their school. Their surrounding is their friends. So what used to work when they were 5 and 6 years old doesn't work anymore. When they become 17, 18, 20, 25, 45, 50, it's different. Try ministering to your parents. It's hard, isn't it, Mama? There's times I have to talk to him. I say, okay, pastor's talking now. Have I not? And they're like, okay, I guess you're not my son today. You don't think I take it easy on my family? I'm harder on my family. I'm harder because I expect more. So I, no, all right, this time pastor needs to talk. And they understand. They reverence that. It's hard. Because you as a son or daughter, ministering to your family is the hardest thing. But you got to understand, you have to understand what's out there, what's their influence, and why you've got to change your approach. That's why David was out in the field dealing with the lions and the bears, dealing with the wolves, so that when he met Goliath, watch this, he already knew how to deal with stuff because he realized, that's not my fight. It wasn't me fighting the bear and the lion. It was God all along. So when he came up against Goliath, he already knew. I was being prepped when I was low. Now that I'm here, getting ready for my promotion, it's still him doing it. So when I go up to another level, guess what? It was him that brought me there. And watch this, and I'll close with this. It's early. No, I'm not going to close. Sure. Y'all were like, what? Shoot, we're going to make it to first. We're going to make it to Luby's early. Golden Corral, here I come. Shoot. Now watch this. No, I am going to close. There's not much more. I mean, there's a lot I can extrapolate from this, but I'm just going to give you enough, and then I may continue on this. Mark 9:35 in the English Standard Version says this. Jesus said, if anyone wants to be first, he shall be last of all and servant of all. When I watch this, what did Jesus do? Jesus came from the throne room of heaven. The throne room of heaven. He came sitting at the highest, the pinnacle, the highest of highest. What did he come to do? He transcended down. He left the highest part of creation, the throne room of God. There's nothing beyond that. Well, many people, oh, we're going to go beyond the throne room of God. Shut up. There's nothing higher than God. There's nothing beyond that. Just your mysticism. The throne room of God is where everything is. And Jesus said, I'll go. Because these sheep, they need some help. They're following after the influences that are taking them the wrong way. I'll go. Send me, Dad. Send me, Dad. I know I'm leaving all of this splendor that you've created. But they don't want to look up to see what you've created. They don't want to even tap into what's already inside of them so they could experience us right now. Send me. Let me teach them. I'll leave all this behind. And I'm gonna go. He left everything he knew. Everything he knew. To come learn everything you know. Did you get that? How is it that God is going to come to learn everything you know? When he's all knowing. He wanted to experience everything that you're going to experience. Everything that you are experiencing. And everything you have already experienced. Send me. Because these sheep, they're falling off the cliff because they're being led astray. I'll be their shepherd. But before I can be their shepherd, I got to get low. I got to come in like a baby so they can recognize me. So they can see me. But what I'm going to show them is not the outside. It's what's inside. He gave us a pattern. All through Scripture was a pattern. But guess what? We're so caught up with thinking we know it all just because we read the Scriptures. But if you don't ask for revelation and illumination of that Word, it'll never transform your life. All you're going to be doing is going through and arching your eyebrows, adding extensions, adding all the beautiful makeup, shaving, getting the goatee, growing the beard, whatever the case may be, you're going to work on the things that are only outside, they're temporal. But what is inside is eternal. So he says, I got to go down there. Send me, Dad. I'll go down there. So he came so he could get low. He became the Son of Man. He became lower than his deity. He says, I'll take on the form of man. I'll put my deity aside so they can see they too can do it. Everything that he didn't do in his deity. He did in the flesh. His carnal side of who he is. He did in human form to let you know you can do it. You are never to say, I can't, because then you limit yourself. You are never to say, I don't know, because the all-knower is inside of you. You're never to say, I'm never going to get there, because he is the one that's everywhere. He got low so that he can give everything to you so he could take you up. What is that up? He transforms you. He renews you. And he strips away everything that you think you know so he can give you everything that he knows. Amen? When a demon or a sickness comes your way, he gave you all power and authority. He took on sickness so that you can be healed. He took on poverty so you can become wealthy. He took on sin so you can become righteous. He took on death so you can have eternal life. He went low so he could take you up. He's transcending his body to a whole different level. It's now for the time that the church will arise and shine and let the glory of God be seen. How's it going to be seen if we're just caught up just looking good on the outside, looking like a Christian?